You're listening to Your Rivers Are Wrong, the podcast.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, or good night. Whenever you may be, welcome back to the Your Rivers Are Wrong podcast. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Dante.
And I'm the other host. My name is Marilyn.
And we're here, as we are every week, to talk about the wonderful whimsies of world building, the arts and aesthetics of setting up a setting and telling stories born from it. And I'm pumped. I'm pumped about today.
Hey.
Today, we are back handling one of our favorite little, I want to call it a mini game, but it's not really a mini game. One of our special episodes.
It kind of feels like a mini game. I get the vibe. Yeah.
It definitely feels like one of those days off where you come to school and there's like a substitute teacher and you get to do like whatever they in mind. This feels like one of those episodes because every five episodes since, I don't know how long we've been doing this, but now, this episode specifically is fan prompts. We're going to tackle prompts given to us by the fans of the show.
That's right.
Taken from my YouTube channel and or our Twitter. And we're going to put them to test and we're going to improvise them on the spot. This entire episode is going to be prompts specifically made by you. And I'm so excited to make those.
Amazing. I'm so ready.
Before we get into it, I do have a couple of updates.
Ooh.
First things first, always a landmark. We just hit 7,000 listens on this podcast.
Wait, that's so good. Oh my God. We're awesome.
Every time we say the number, it feels, we are. It feels bigger than I ever expected this podcast to be.
Yeah.
And I'm always
super
surprised. Because when we started, we were like, 10 people listened? Oh, that's so exciting.
That's so
this
cool.
week we got 10 listeners. That's like one listener a day. And I was like, so psyched.
That's like 10 whole people. And now it's like times 700. Yeah, that's wild.
I listen to the Colin and Samir podcast every now and then. And they said they recently hit 1 million subscribers.
Whoa, that's cool.
So they used to put it in perspective of if everyone listening was in the same room, what would that room look like? Right. And that's how you put it into perspective. Because a million people is like multiple coliseums or something like that.
That's a very abstract number. Yeah.
Could you imagine 7,000 people have listened to our podcast? Just fill a room, fill a building with that. That is crazy.
I think that's like at least six full high schools, you know?
Yeah, that checks out. That checks out.
Can you imagine? Like, that's so much high school people. Like, I feel like school size is kind of the scope of where my brain can go without, like, dying from confusion, you know? Because I feel like I've seen, like, an entire auditorium full of, like, everyone in school. And that's kind of the max scope of what I can imagine in a number.
Yeah, yeah.
So times seven or whatever, times six, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, and even like our weekly listeners, that's enough to fill, like, a lecture hall. And that's wild. Could you imagine just sitting in front and rambling and there's like a lecture hall full of people listening?
Yeah, that's basically what we're doing, but like spread out. It
blows
and
my
digital.
Mind.
Yeah, super amazing.
Spread out and digital. That's us, spread out and digital.
Come here for your spread out and digital version of lectures. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's great.
Oh my gosh. Second update. I haven't told you about this yet because I've been working on it on the side. Ooh. Episode 50, by the time this is out, I'll have it out by then. But episode 50 now has music and sound design attached to it.
Really?
So
wait.
there's like an underlayer of music that I found and little sound hits. Whenever we mention that sound happens, I tried to find that exact sound and put it in.
My God, that's so great. I love that so much. Wait, now I have to listen to it.
It's not professional at all.
That's great.
For us, it'll be done within the week. But for you guys, it's already out. It's already out.
Yep. Yep.
It's so hard. It's so hard, Marilla. It's so hard.
Sound design is like a job, you know? Yeah.
I looked up like Foley tutorials and it's like six, seven layers of sound. And I'm like, how about one? How about one sound?
Let's start with one.
And then a sound underneath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start with one.
Start small. So, start small.
I really wanted to get into it.
Oh, that's so fun.
And as a YouTuber, you pull from like royalty free sources. So thank you for my career, Ben Sound, Adrian Von Ziegler, Maps and Melodies. Scott Buckley, basically the guys whose royalty-free music is used everywhere, the backbone of YouTube creatorship.
Yep, for sure. That's so fun. I love that you tried that out. I do that like only sometimes, like I sort of dabble in soundscaping and stuff every now and then, or when there's like an art project that I feel like sound should be added to it. It's so hard. Like, if we're going to do this for all the episodes, like, hats off to you, man, because that's going to be...
Oh, no way. No way!
Because I wasn't like... I'm not sure where you're going. Like, I love all of it, of course, but also don't feel pressured to do it because I know how hard it is.
Whatever time I spent editing that episode, it's like four times as much time. Oh. Just thinking about this, the songs and the songs you could pick.
That's intense.
Browsing through whole libraries. No way.
It could be like a special or something. We should think about this. Yeah. That would be fun. Like a fully immersive one. Yeah. We got to think about this.
You know what we can do? Episode 60. Let's talk about episode 60. I'll pledge right now that I will sound design episode 60. So we're going to go into it with the idea that there's going to be music and sound underlaid, and we'll see how that changes our prompts.
Yes,
I think that's actually
super interesting. Idea. I love that. But before we do that,
how about you? Updates from you for this week?
Oh, well, actually, well, as I showed you like a second ago, I bought new shoes, which is great. I love buying new shoes.
You did. You lifted them high enough to see in the webcam.
I lifted them high enough because it was worth it because they're so nice. And also, I really needed them. So I feel satisfied that I spent money on things that I need and are also very cool. Like, it's not always the case that it's both.
You are very excited. I have to clarify. I said lifted to the camera. Yeah, she's wearing them. And then she lifted them to the webcam.
It was worth
it. It's not like holding them in the palms.
No.
Yeah.
I had to go all the way. And secondly, yesterday I had a great writing session with the beloved one and only Cherry, with which I'm doing the funding application with, right? I think we talked about this in the like a few episodes ago. So we're writing a sort of big application to fund a few of our art projects for the coming year.
Right.
And the fund basically hosted a writing session in Utrecht, which is close, or, you know, which is one of the bigger cities in Holland. And it was really nice because you could just ask questions. And then afterwards, we sort of celebrated going through the first phase with like very good Vietnamese food. And I had like fried ice cream for the first time, which is so tasty.
Fried ice cream?
Oh, I don't know why not all of the dishes are hot and cold at the same time. It's great. I love it. I love ice cream. I love dough. I love fried stuff. It's great. Big recommend. So that was great. And then it was a really great start of the day because, I don't know. Yeah, it was just great.
You started the day with fried ice cream?
Or no, sorry. It was a really great start of the week. There we go.
Okay, I was going to say.
It was a good Monday. Like, not all Mondays are good, but this was a good Monday. Yeah, very nice.
Listen, I can attest as a red-blooded American, we've tried to fry a lot of things. It doesn't always work.
Yep.
Doesn't always work.
I think the Vietnamese beat you on this one. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, certainly.
Yep.
That sounds incredible. I love that.
Yes, it was so super tasty.
Well, I guess with that out of the way, let's jump into our first of four prompts we're going to do today. No topics, just prompts. That's the fun of these episodes.
Yep, all in. No regrets.
No regrets. Now, I'm going to start with something that's relatively simple. It's one of the first like pure world building prompts I've seen in a while. We do a lot of story prompts, but this seems like a pure what happens to the world kind of prompt.
Okay.
This comes from my Twitter, which is strange because nothing ever comes from my Twitter, including tweets from me.
Apparently we have Twitter, yes.
Yes. This one comes from one of our five followers on Twitter.
Woohoo!
So,
represent.
So I felt like I get to pay tribute to 20% of our Twitter fan base.
Amazing.
With this one prompt.
Yes.
This one comes from Dan the Cat, at Dan the Cat 5.
Amazing.
The prompt is, everything is slightly heavier now.
Everything is slightly heavier now, and that's the whole thing?
That's the whole prompt.
I love it so much.
All right. You can work on this on your own, or we could brainstorm it, whatever you want to do.
This is, this feels sort of old school in a way. I feel like we've done prompts like this in like the very first season, like sort of more generalized things. Yeah, it's really nice, actually. Everything's slightly heavier now. Slightly. I love how like balanced this prompt is somehow.
Yeah.
Slightly heavier.
The now implies that this is a change.
Yes,
like.
That's true, actually. Yeah. So, you know, the people woke up and before they do it, the world felt slightly heavier. Slightly heavier. Yeah. This slightly is throwing me off because, you know, how much heavier does something need to become before it gets a problem? You know, if it's just slightly, I don't feel like it's that problematic. So it's just the little things that are changing, right? It's a subtle, it's a subtle undercurrent of like weight change in the world.
Well, we gotta figure out slightly heavier for like 100-pound human being is like, I don't know, a tenth of that, like maybe 10 pounds. But what's slightly heavier for like a whole skyscraper? You know, is it also 10 pounds?
Oh, or
is it
like shit. Yeah.
A percentile deal?
Wait, I didn't think of this. Like, everything is not built for having more weight. Like, things will collapse and shit. I didn't think of, like, the implications of this. I thought it was just like, hey, you're trying to pick up, a book, and then you're like, what the fuck? And that's all I got. That's all that was in my brain. Hold up.
That's the end of the prompt. That could be it.
It could be it. Yeah, but it's not it. Because now my brain is expanding, you know, you can almost hear it. Yeah.
Okay, I'll leave it to you.
Okay. I would say, because it's slightly heavier, right? Only the things that are delicately built are going to have problems, I think. Because things that are made for, you know, earthquakes, they will still, I think, stand? Maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe not. I'm not sure. I'm really like, how far do you go here? And also, you know, what if every day or every X amount of time, things continually get slightly heavier?
Ooh.
Like, then it's a problem Ooh. Very quickly, you know? Like, is it every now? Like, every moment of now? Things are slightly heavier. Like, it's a sort of increased, you know, increased graph here. That would be a struggle.
Yeah, that sounds like a mess.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, how messy do you want to make this, Merla? What's your level of mess? What's your degree of mess you want to cause? How much trouble you want to make here?
I think this is a growing problem. I like that very much.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Oh, no. I'm sorry, people of my imaginative world. But I think it's a growing problem. Because then it can increase in sort of stress about it, right? It's like climate change. Like, at first it's just 1 degree and people are just having warm summers, and then, you know, before you know it, the planet dies and you're like, well, shit,
that's terrible. Yeah,
it requires perspective, you know. So I would say we see sort of overview city, we see the zoom in through a window, somebody wakes up and tries to sort of throw their blankets from their bed and is like really struggling. Like, it looks a bit clunky and you're like, okay, is this person just really old or something? But no, it's like a 20 something person just trying to get to work. And then as they, you know, tie their shoes and stuff and realize that their shoes are like heavier than usual, it feels kind of like almost as if they're like sticking to the ground a little bit more. It's kind of strange, but they're like, well, maybe I should just wake up a little bit more. And then they're, you know, turning on the coffee machine, having some coffee, and then almost, you know, spilling their glass because somehow they weren't ready for like how much coffee they apparently made. Maybe there was more in the machine than usual. I'm not sure. Eventually, you know, they commute to work. I would say maybe this is also would this be like a train problem as well? Like, what if you...
With a lot of people, it just might be.
I think so, right? Yeah. I mean, maybe not on the first day. I think... Right, okay, right. Yeah. Let's check in like every time, like the 8 o'clock news, right? I think on the first day, 8 o'clock news is going to comment on this and say, like, somehow scientists haven't figured it out yet, but somehow the world's slightly heavier today. Just make sure that you you don't, you know, rip your muscles accidentally in picking stuff up. Just be aware that somehow the world's a little bit heavier. Just take that into account as you go through your day. No reason to be upset. Please continue your usual workflow. You're going to be good. We'll figure it out. The next day and, you know, they're sort of like crawling out of bed because the blankets are so heavy. And it's like, what's happening? The day goes by relatively simple, except for like a bunch of trains are not going because like there's trouble with the tracks. There's trouble with the people being too heavy for the carriage to actually move. I don't know. There's like a bunch of super heavy leaves stuck on the track because the train is that.
Wait.
Yeah, there's a...
The leaves falling from the trees is so dangerous.
Like, it almost looks like it's autumn because there's like a bunch of like leaves falling from the trees, but it's really not autumn. So like, dangerous. The leaves just really got heavy for no reason. So that's going to be a problem, maybe. There's like a bunch of like bridges that feel more rickety than usual. And just, you know, for safety's sake, the government's like, maybe don't take this bridge today. maybe take the ferry, you know, which is taking longer, by the way, because like dredging through the water is like a hell of a lot more intense than usual. Like, there's waves you know, how do you steer a boat that has the capacity for like not storms through the water that's like super heavy all of a sudden? It's pretty hard. Not a lot of people can go on this boat because otherwise this boat's not going to move. Second day, 8 o'clock news. You know, the world is still pretty heavy. Actually, maybe more heavy than usual. Just for the sake of caution, we make sure to close some buildings that might have not been safe to use anymore. We're still trying to figure it out. Maybe just be more careful. We don't really know what it is, but there's no reason for panic. People, there's no reason for panic. Don't worry. the world will be fine eventually, right?
At this point, I imagine there's like stretch marks on their clothing as it's like on their shoulders, and their tie is like weighing heavy on their neck.
Yes.
It's one of those situations. That is so... I know we're joking about this, but this really is like a horror situation. This is like a Black Mirror type.
It's so scary, right? I didn't think of ties or clothes in general, like literally weighing you down. Yeah, that's super freaky. Yeah.
Well, okay. I think if we want to like cap this prompt, when does this get bad? Like what is the bad part
of this? Third day, we wake up to the sound of like things falling from heaven. And everyone realizes it's raining. And it's not just raining. It's raining. Like, all the water is, literally blowing holes in roofs and stuff. And at this point, we realize that perhaps this is not just, you know, a funky weightlessness, weightfulness, temporary world problem, but maybe a natural disaster that we should talk about and not be, like, lightheaded about. Or, how do you say that? Lighthearted about it? Like, easygoing about, as people are stuck in their homes that are, like, battered as if there's, like, 1,000 nails falling from the sky and hope their buildings don't collapse. And before we know it, you know, we hear the sirens wailing. We hear the news sort of turning on and saying, okay, we don't know what's happening, but maybe this is the time to start acting on it more intensely than we did before.
It's a little too late.
Yep.
It's a little too late.
Isn't that how the world works?
Oh, could you imagine? is this an extended commentary on the effects of global warming on the world?
I mean, in general, right? Like, oh, COVID, oops, well, oh, so I guess we have to be indoors now. Wah, wah.
Oh, no.
I mean.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, this was like so political all of a sudden. Yes.
I didn't think how bad it would be until you mentioned raining. Because could you imagine thousands of like, nail heavy raindrop hitting your rooftop every second?
That's scary.
That's crazy.
That's scary.
There's holes in the pavement. That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
Everything else will be whittled down and that's terrifying.
And also it comes from high above. So they have a lot of, you know, time to fall like really hard on us, on our heads and our ribs.
That's very bad.
I don't know how to end this prompt, but this was nice and ominous. Beautiful.
Well, thank you for that simple, lighthearted prompt. Dan the cat.
Easy go and start.
I appreciate you setting off our prompts today with existential horror. No big deal. No big deal. All right. I'm going to toss it to you.
Yep.
You have a prompt for me.
I do have a prompt for you. I was going to ask another one, but I think this one is a good counterbalance from this one. Okay. This prompt is very wholesome, I think. And it's from one of our YouTube users called Zygmunt Fox. Very wonderful.
Hello.
And the prompt is the following. Magic is fueled by making sandwiches, and different toppings or ingredients result in different effects. So give me like a menu here. I want a menu.
Okay.
Also, by the way, side note, I picked this because I've been obsessed with like a bubble tea shop, like super stupid mobile game that I've been like playing obsessively. So the like combining ingredient stuff was like, this is made for me. Thank you, Zygmunt Fox.
Interesting.
It's very nice. And also very brain dead. You know, at some point it gets like grindy, but I haven't been able to stop.
This podcast, by the way, is sponsored by...
by bubble tea. Yeah. Nope.
By whatever that app is.
Please sponsor us. I'd love to be sponsored by bubble tea, honestly.
Listen, if bubble tea app, whatever your name is, if you're out there and you're listening to world building podcasts, listen, we got a slot for you.
Yeah, for sure.
So let me get this straight.
Yes.
Magic is molded by making sandwiches?
Magic is fueled by making sandwiches. Yes.
And the magic that comes out depends on the ingredients you put in the sandwich.
Correct.
Okay. Now on the surface, right? Now on the surface, this is a pretty simple, lighthearted prompt.
Uh-huh.
But what you're asking me to do is develop a magic system.
Yeah.
Which is?
Based on sandwiches and their toppings. Yes. Go.
Okay. Which is exactly my wheelhouse. So let's do this. Okay. 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 Well, this all started 5,000 years ago when the first...
This is like the Avatar introduction.
You know, the history of sandwiches, which began 5,000 years ago.
Sure.
This is giving me vibes to the cheese prompt. Do you remember the cheese
prompt? Oh, I remember the cheese prompt. All right. Yes.
Where all magic is sourced by cheese. Listen, the world knew about magic. The world knew about magic. I think that's obvious enough. There was something inherently arcane about food. And that's just how it went. You know, the most powerful casters of the world were fed banquets of a unique and exquisite types of magic. And at the time, 5,000 years ago, it was kind of taboo to eat more than one ingredient at a time. There was a dangerous undertone to experimenting too much. So you would have a meal of just grain in the morning. Maybe that supplements your abjuration talents. And then in the afternoon, you'd have a meat dish, which supplements your evocation, which supplements your more powerful elemental type or natural types. You know, if you eat the meat of an animal, perhaps it's attached to whatever primal magic is attached to that lineage of beast. And then at night, you'd have some sort of like water or liquid, which allows your body to integrate and like properly process the magic that you're taking into your body. And you know, food is a scarcity, and only the richest have access to the most powerful of magics. But that all changed when the grand treasury of the king was robbed.
Ooh.
By a number of pilferers who break into the sacred food banks and take whatever they can grab. Now, these people who eat the most typical of grain foods, simplest sorts of magic, don't know what to do with all these different types of food. So they do what anyone would think. They grab two hard slices of bread and then just shove all of it compacted into one single serving. And that was the world's first sandwich.
Oh.
The next 5 years of that city where the first sandwich was made was ruled by the first person to make a sandwich, because they were endowed with so much magic that they transcended into a semi-divine state.
Oh my God.
It was...
Sandwich God?
It was something the world had never seen before. Yeah, Sandwich God. We're talking about the first hero sandwich was made today. That possessed the powers of meats, grains, veggies, special toppings, and of course the grains that hold it together.
It's like a commercial for healthy eating.
Unprecedented. Never before seen has anyone tampered so recklessly with magic before. But through that strength gained in that one single sandwich, they were able to establish an entirely new empire. Fast forward 5,000 years to the present, where food is much more regulated, and the untapped potential of food has been very much waned and diminished as to not let that ever happen again. Could you imagine a disastrous world where everyone is eating these hero sandwiches? No way. No way. Only the best sandwiches are reserved for the elite. We tap into the concept of capitalism once more, where all of the wealth is funneled into the very few. And the powers of divinity are held in the hands of those with the biggest pockets. But something new is on the horizon. There is an underground market of pre-processed organic food, never before seen by the wealthy.
Oh, hello.
To allow power to those of the impoverished, of the incapable, of the under-empowered, a pure, simple food. No longer generated and produced by the factories that have ruled this world, you see first person to hold what looks to be a regular old sandwich. One that resembles the ancient hieroglyphs of old. A pure, honest sandwich. One with homemade, yes, loved ingredients, not passed through the filters of factories.
Oh my God.
This has not been touched.
We're getting in the hipster part of this
history supervised.
Now. Yes, okay.
This is an unsupervised sandwich.
Wow.
That you cannot buy. And the first person to bite into it is the great, 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 great descendant of the first hero who ate the first hero sandwich and waited a long time for this moment. And as they take the first bite of this honest to goodness loved sandwich, a sandwich full of love and happiness and care from the people who care for the world and hope for it to change, he bites into it and feels the rush of the world's hopes on his shoulders. This is the first person in 5,000 years to truly have it their way. And all across the world, beneath the cracks of the earth, a light begins to gleam as it rejoices, for it has been returned to the roots of its creation. End scene.
Wait. Sandwich lore. Oh no.
And the lore.
So much lore. I wasn't okay. Yeah, I mean, this is great. I love that we built a prompt about sandwiches. I mean, Sigmund Fox did. Thank you very much, Sigmund Fox. This was wonderful. Yes.
Thank you so much, Sigmund Fox. What a work of art. I could have gone into like the very specifics of the magic system, but I'm like, no, I feel like if sandwiches gave me magic, one, that'd be incredible. Two, that'd be incredible only the first time, because everybody would then start doing it and chaos would reign.
Yes.
And then it'd be highly regulated as time passes, and then someone goes back to the roots. And I felt like there's something so pure about a sandwich, right? Something so pure.
It's true. It's true.
Something sacred.
I love how this felt like so much like one of those, you know, when they try to make commercials about like government stuff, like eating healthy and like, you know, and then they like ask someone cool to make something cool about it. Like we have a bunch of commercials for like, I don't know, like a phone provider. And then they ask like, cool Dutch rappers to make a cool rap song about their phone provider.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got like that feeling like hard from this prompt, and I love it. It's great. It's like the uncovered lore of healthy eating. Discover it now. All the ingredients, collect them all. Yes, I loved it. Amazing. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Well,
okay.
Are you ready for the third prompt of this episode?
Ready as I'll ever be. Let's go.
Okay. For this one, I kind of want to pull on an old listing of prompts, because I remember the first time we asked for prompts, we got like 50, right? We got like yeah. a ridiculous amount and not enough to even scratch or dent the amount of responses we got.
Yeah, we're leaving so many awesome stuff behind every time we do this, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. So I always have this list of prompts that I wish we got to.
Oh.
And every now and then I want to dip back into the pool and pull one of those out.
That's great. Love that.
This is from 3 months ago.
Wow.
And we did bring it up in episode 45. That's something that was a runner-up, I suppose. Was brought to us. This one was brought to us by Hell Penguin. Thank you for this prompt, Hell Penguin. And the prompt is, the gods trade souls like coins.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, that's a spicy one. Interesting.
It's been sitting in the back of my head for months now.
Oh,
and I'm
really?
Like, I wish yeah. I could come back and do this though. One. So thank you so much, Hell Penguin.
The gods trade souls like coins.
That's it. The whole prompt.
Wow. Tiny side note. I think it's always so nice if people can sort of fit the whole prompt in like 6 words. Or what is it? Like 6 mm-hmm. words? Yeah. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Hell Penguin.
Thank you so much, Hell Penguin.
The gods trade souls like coins. So I would say, we are talking about a pantheon here. So as we've established earlier, I'm not the greatest at making up gods. But here goes nothing. I won't specify them. But in order for this to work, we need to have a system of trading, right? Which at least requires like 3 gods, I guess, to do it.
Sure.
I would say, hear me out. Let's make this interesting.
I'm hearing.
What if one god had the opportunity to make only one soul ever in their life, in their existence?
Ooh.
So there's a lot of gods. This is a pantheon of many. This is not like a handful of gods. This is not like a family or, you know, a bunch of people that you can fit on like 2 hands. This is like many, many, many gods, basically the equal amount as you have souls. So because you can only create one soul as a god in your entire existence, these things are the most precious things that exist, right?
Wow.
Each soul is kind of tied to one godly being, whether that means they have, you know, it's a sort of patron relationship, whether that means they just drop the soul on earth and that's it, you know, they never look back, whether that means they want to be in full control of whatever this soul is going through, the fact that they don't want it to die, perhaps, whether it's still something that they possess or not, you know. I think that might vary per god as well. Like, some are really control freaks and others are total chill about it. But it begs the question, and I think here we come to this particular prompt, what happens once you lose your soul, the one that you created? Or what happens if you can't create one? Or if you created one that you kind of regret?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to sort of figure it out. There's a lot of worth, I guess self-worth also, attached to having a specific soul under your command or having created a specific soul. What if you could have more souls, more than one? Then you're the real deal, right? Because that's going to require a lot of effort or a lot of, you know, I guess social power to talk with someone else, to deal with you or switch souls with you. what if there's like souls that are maybe at some point in one of the timelines, I guess, of this world, at some point, a soul is discovered untied to any god. And there's a rush by all of these gods to see how they can acquire it. Like, this is a rare, rare occasion, right? Where a soul is not tied to a patron or a godly being before. Maybe they start to pop up more. Maybe there's a way that somehow gods create souls and then realize they die in the process. Or the gods haven't figured out that's a problem yet until these souls without gods start popping up into the world and they realize something's wrong, right? This is not the way it should have gone. And all of a sudden, we have these, I guess, godless souls wandering around, not tied to anyone. And how wonderful would it be to have another soul under your command? Like, how powerful would that make you as a god? Would it gain either your status? Would you gain more power to it because they are, you know, looking for you? Or it's, you know, you can establish another relationship aside from your, you know, your primary soul that you figured out, that you created?
Yeah.
Would it be a way to make other gods do what you want because you have something to offer, which is an extra soul?
Right, right.
Right? What if there's like co-parenting now? let's just take care of the soul together, you know? What if this is a way that people, or I guess gods, that gods can connect with each other when they really want to be happy
there's
together?
There's like a shared pool.
And they try to adopt because, you know, I like my soul and you like your soul, but like, what if we have another one? We can share it and it would be really nice. What if that's a thing? It doesn't have to be like ominous and edgy all the time. What if it's also like source of happiness? And also, you know, what do these souls think of it? Like, maybe they just want to hang out without a god. Maybe they don't like being tied to a god because they know that all these other souls are constantly in a relationship with a god and they have to figure out what that means. And maybe they're super controlling over them. I don't know. Depends. Right? I think there's a lot of options here. I also realized that I forgot half of the prompt, which is they trade souls like coins.
I think you still nailed it, though.
Because I mean, we're getting there, yeah.
The idea of being able to gain, lose, and exchange the coins adds the layer of depth of their worth, of their value, right? And you've touched upon that already.
I guess so, yeah.
I really, really like your idea of making it one per god. I think that adds an inherent value. Right.
I think it ups the stakes. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if you have more to this prompt, but like the second you said that, my head was spinning.
Oh, yeah.
Like campaign ideas.
Nice, nice.
Of like story prompts.
I mean, I love this because usually there's like a bunch of gods, but not like as many as there are people. Right. Like who are the people in this case? Like are the souls tied to the gods or are the gods tied to the souls? Mm-hmm. You know, I like this feeling of sort of an underground market or maybe like, you know, a divine market, but then, you know, what's the most valuable side of this balance here, you know?
Yeah, and you could label it like, if one god makes one person, who's really the valuable one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you lose your coin, are you truly a god? Have you
maybe
lost
not
that inherent value? Because the value is in the soul that you've created, not necessarily in you, you know?
And it's also, yeah, like you could go both ways in this constantly, right? Like what if there's a god that is somehow not able to create a soul? That sucks. You know, it's the other way around.
Yeah, and their mission is to find one that will officially classify themselves as a god.
Yeah, they'll be desperate for it, right? They're super outcasts if they can't make or create or are tied to one soul at least. Yeah.
And what if a soul gains access to somebody else's coin? Does that make them a god?
Ooh.
Are they now transcending into the divine layer? Like, how does that?
That's going to be super complicated. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I love it.
My brain is spinning.
Yep. This is a great one.
I loved exactly where you took that. That's beautiful. So good.
Wonderful. This is, yeah. I just love the idea of a pantheon not being like four gods, you know. I love that it's literally an entire community that's equally big as the actual souls are making. I think that's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like it sort of loosens this sort of big, important, there's only a few of us feeling to it.
Yeah. That's neat.
Fascinating. I love that one. That was great.
I feel like this is an idea we come back to in the future. I don't know how, but.
Yeah, it's simmering
now,
isn't it?
I'm keeping in my back pocket. Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
Okay. With that, let's jump to our last prompt.
Yes. Okay.
I'll recap in this episode, Marilla.
Are you ready for the final prompt?
Sure am.
Because I like their name so much, and also because it made me think of fairy tales, this is the last prompt I picked. It's actually a Twitter one as well. And it's by Polyphonica Studio, which sounds super quirky and wonderful to me.
Ooh.
And it is the following. Here you go. Gangs of highly intelligent crows start terrorizing towns, and there's only one way to tame them.
Yeah. I saw this one and I'm like, this is a good one.
It's a good
this
one.
This was my back pocket one.
Oh, really? Case, okay. We picked the same one.
Yeah, in case the other one was taken. Polyphonica exclamation point studio is actually the person who made our first meme. The one who who made the
really
bad sleep schedules meme.
Oh, now I feel extra special that I picked it because I didn't know that. But
yeah.
Yes.
Of our five awesome. Followers, they're the most engaged. So
I love it. Yes.
This is the most engaged 20% of our fan base.
The OG meme part of the fan base is represented here. I love it. Also, I love this prompt because it reminded me very much of the, I don't know if this is an English thing or just a Dutch fairy tale or German maybe, but there's like one tale that's like the rat catcher where somebody like is sort of a flautist and then a village is sort of pestered by rats and then only the flautist sort of can lead the rats outside of the thing, and it has a really spooky and gross sort of undertone, and I love the feeling from this prompt because it reminded me so much of it. So there you go.
I think I heard something like that, the Pied Piper is what
oh maybe
I learned it as. Maybe it's probably the same story, honestly.
Sure, might be similar. Yeah, I mean honestly that's how fairy tales work, like there's a bunch of things that basically are the same tale told differently.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I feel like I know exactly. By the way, I should probably plug it. Our Twitter is YRAW podcast. Your River is the Wrong podcast.
You're off.
If you want to upgrade our follow count to 6 or even 7, ooh, might be crazy. Might be cool.
before it gets famous, you know, and we might still remember your username.
Yeah, before we
get
hit
there
double
before
digits,
it gets cool. You gotta watch. Yeah.
Yes, wonderful. I'm going to read that one more time and we'll get into it.
Yes.
Gangs of highly intelligent crows start terrorizing towns, and there's only one way to tame them. I don't know if I want to lean into tame here. I kind of want to lean into like highly gangs of crows.
Sure,
I feel like that's the better aesthetic.
Aren't crows highly intelligent in general? Like, aren't those the ones that
crack nuts
by dropping them on like car tracks and stuff? It's really great.
Honestly,
crows
I believe
cool.
it.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to set the scene for this one.
Sure.
I like setting the scene.
Yeah. You're great at it.
We have Dan Rivers. Dan Rivers is our main character here. And he is a mess. He's leaving his house that has been ransacked by crows. This is the fifth attack this week. He has had his TV stolen. He's had his blankets taken from him while he was sleeping. And he is missing like every left slipper. He is truly in the most desperate of states. He doesn't know what to do with himself. And he goes out in the veil of night, hopefully when the crows won't see him. And he goes to the part of town that no one ever dares tread because he really, really is on his last legs. He's heard about this part of town from a number of his family and knows that going here is basically forfeiting everything that you have in exchange for hopefully something that can help. But if this keeps up, he'll have nothing left to defend. So Dan Rivers wanders to the other side of town. He crosses a dingy bridge and makes sure that he stays out of the eyesight of any wide skies, tries to stick close to the darker alleyways, and eventually walks into one corridor lined with trash bags all along the sides, almost ceremoniously arranged, like prized possessions. There is an innate orderliness to this dingy corridor, and you can see all along the walls through a couple of the windows of these abandoned buildings that kind of border this corridor, glowing yellow eyes peering through, watching him as he progresses through this strange hallway. And he eventually arrives at a tall trash heap marked and accented by a number of crooked street signs, car tail lights. You can see some light bulb stolen and plugged into whatever generator is within this little landfill, powers a bunch of lights that color this place in an eerie red and green. And atop this stack of garbage sits a singular creature, bushy tail, gray skin, black marks across their eyes, like a hooded robber. And he looks up to this 20-foot tall landfill to the eyes of the king, Trash Panda. The raccoon to rule them all.
His name is Trash Panda?
King Trash Panda.
Oh, excuse me. Forgive me.
Yeah.
Sire. Yes.
KTP. KTP for short. Dan Rivers looks at the landfill and kneels. And the Trash Panda at the top looks towards him with its beady eyes and says, "What have you brought for offering?" And you see Dan Rivers lifts his most recent Monday trash, a humble bag, and lays it by the feet of the landfill. And the king says, "All right, what are you looking for?" And Dan Rivers says, "Oh, please, sir, please. I've been troubled by the crows. The crows, they come in through the windows. They know how to open them. They lift the latch from the outside. It's terrifying. Every night I see them flit and dip through my door and windows and pick up whatever they want, specifically all the shiny things. My house no longer shines as it used to." And the king says, "Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, your house is like a little treasure trove that they can dig into. Oh, it's been a while since I've spoken to them. I think it's about time we take that part of the city back."
"Ooh.
What's your name, kid?" He says, Dan Rivers. "It's me. I live 5 blocks away. I recently moved in. My flat costs $2,500 a month and it's not worth it anymore. I should move somewhere else where there's less crows and less inflation." And the king says, "Too late for you here. You gotta go. They know your face. They know your name. They'll track you wherever you go. They know your car. They know where you're going to park. Your car is marked when you go to work, right?" And he says, "Yes, every day, covered in white spots. It's terrible. I can barely see. And my windshield wipers don't help at all." And the raccoon says, "That'll do it. Sorry, you got no future in this town."
Poor Dan.
The raccoon lifts himself from his landfill throne and rolls like a little roly-poly ball all the way to the bottom, as raccoons do. And he clears his throat and lifts his hands to the skies, and the windows of every building begin to alight with these golden eyes as his people are in attendance to hear him speak. And he says, "Trash pandas, hear me. The crows have always ruled the skies, and we've always ruled the land, and that's how it's been since the first person ever made their first piece of trash. Now, in these recent years, it's felt like they've tried to take more and more of this city. Portions that don't belong to them. Trash cans that we've marked for years and for generations that's been passed down from our ancestors. But now, now it's time to strike. We've been waiting for this day. We have here our treasured collection of rotten eggs to throw in their direction. High premium grade eggs that have recently
premium grade rotten eggs. Yes.
Grade A eggs purchased 10 years ago. The most potent of threats to these crows. We'll have to pull from our allies throughout the cities. The rats, the roaches, the weird weasels that pass through every now and then that kind of look like us, but not enough, but we still get blamed for everything they do. We got to talk to those guys too. Are you ready for the greatest fight River City's ever seen?" You hear a screeching sound. I don't know what sound raccoons make. I truly don't.
Sure.
I think it's some sort of screeching or something like squeaking. I think they squeak a little bit. So a sonorous cacophony of
squeak
of
symphony.
He goes to the corner. He says, "Black Eye, you go to the west part of the city and recruit the rats. Swimmer, you head down to the sewers and you get the roaches. I'm going to need Two Tail and Half Tail to head over to the local supermarket, break in around 9:50 p.m. That's when the guy who's in charge kind of closes up but doesn't quite lock the door. Specifically do it on a Thursday. He always forgets on Thursdays. And get us the best..." I'm losing track of this from... "The best eggs you can find. We're going to need some fresh ones too to sustain ourselves. This is going to be a long, drawn out fight. Can you do it? Squeaks. Squeaks, squeaks." You're like a chanting building up.
I'm seeing like Lion King, Scar realm, you know?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. You hear the building up of like a choir in the background. Yes. There's like an undertone of these chants, the Gregorian chants. And as this picks up, as the raccoons are driven to action, you can see from the telephone poles above these beady eyes watching them, and a quiet discussion among the three scouts with black feathers. And speak amongst each other and say, "They finally decided to move." Whew, and that's the end of the scene.
Don, don, don. Cliffhanger. It's great. I loved how trashy they were. I love the gang fights. I love poor little Dan. Dan Rivers from River City. Did I hear that right?
Dan Rivers.
Dan Rivers from River City. I feel like he's our representative somehow. Like... living in,
oh yeah,
river, like having a name of Rivers, living in River City, and having to leave because you didn't really do it right. That sounds kind of accurate, you know. Yes.
Listen, this is not the last time we'll see Dan Rivers. This guy will come back.
He's going to be our
some
Chad
future
now.
Prom.
Yeah.
Dan Rivers.
The one and only.
We'll put that down.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay. I loved it. Well, amazing.
That's all we got for you today. Thank you guys so much for the prompts.
Amazing as always. Yes.
We'll tap in with episode 60 in 5 episodes from now. So 5 weeks from now, whenever you're listening to this, 5 weeks from now, we'll have an episode that we'll intend to score with music and sounds. A nice little challenge to wrap up season 5. Mm. Yeah. And if you're still listening at this point, how many minutes in? This is a good while. Thank you so much. That's really, really meaningful to me and us. And this just like, this message is specifically for you. If you're listening all the way to this mark, thank you so much. This little hobby of ours has kind of bloomed and evolved into something that we couldn't expect.
Oh, man.
And yes. It is so wonderful to create and be heard and be listened to and just enjoying the hobby that is world building and storytelling.
Yeah.
So
well said, my friend.
As always, as will always be, your rivers continue to be wrong.
Yes.
And that's not changing today.
Nope.
But till then.
Honestly, that's what you're here for.
That's if you came into the podcast looking to see why your rivers are wrong.
You knew what the name was, you know.
Maybe next episode we'll figure it out. But not today. Have a wonderful night. Goodbye.
See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Rivers Are Wrong. If you have ideas for topics, prompts, or you just want to share your thoughts, please reach us at yourriversarewrong@gmail.com. That's yourriversarewrong@gmail.com. Also, a big thanks to Maarte Schellekens, who created the intro and outro music for our podcast. And most importantly, thank you for listening. We hope to see you at the next one. Bye.